Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 34. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Excuse me. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." Do not worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith! And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we consider it together now, that you will speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love a good story. I love telling a good story. One of my greatest pleasures in playgroup was to tell the story. And, you know, you'd have a little group of little children sitting around you, and you know, I'd like to put in all the different accents and make it louder and quieter and make it more exciting. And I still do that now when I've got my two little ones on my lap. I love to tell a story. But there's no storyteller like Jesus. I wonder what it would have been like to sit there and listen to what he was saying. And here he is, he's telling a story. He tells this story about a man who has a great harvest. He says, I don't know if he started once upon a time, probably not, but there was a man, a farmer, and he had an amazing harvest one year. And it was so amazing, he didn't know quite what to do with it, so he said to himself, what am I going to do? And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll build great big barns, great big storehouses, keep it all for myself, and then, oh, for lots and lots of years, I'm going to have great fun. And you can imagine perhaps the people listening and saying, hmm. And then suddenly Jesus went, but that night God said, you silly man. What a fool you are. You're going to die tonight. What's going to happen with what you've stored up for yourself? So he tells this story about this man who had a bumper harvest. He tells how he reacted and what he did. Now, two things before we start. I don't believe that the parable teaches that it's wrong to be rich. All our blessings are given by God, and many people in the Bible are people who have wealth. Abraham, David, Solomon, Joseph of Arimathea, who used their wealth to bless other people. And even in Christian history, how many rich people have used their resources to bless others? So Jesus isn't saying you mustn't be rich. And he isn't saying it's wrong to make plans. This man made plans that what he was going to do about his barns and his corn and his grain and what he was going to do over the next many years. Planning isn't wrong. In fact, you can read many stories in the Bible where it tells us that we should plan. Proverbs 24 and verse 37 and Luke 14. Jesus says, if you want to build a house, you've got to plan. If you want to go on a journey, you need to plan. Planning can be very important. So if it's not about not being rich and not about not planning, what is the parable about? Jesus says, life is not measured by how much you own. It's not to do with what you have and how much of it. He is making his listeners think about their attitude to God, to wealth, and to other people. This man had a bumper harvest. He decided to keep it for himself and dedicate the rest of his life to enjoyment. What did he do that was wrong? What did he think that was wrong? Well, first of all, he didn't remember that these blessings were given by God. He congratulates himself. Many times he uses the word I. What shall I do? I don't. I know. I will. I. It's all about him. We don't read anywhere that he remembered that it had all come from God. James 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights who does not change. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10 to 12 reminds us of this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 10 to 12. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. It's a land with large prosperous cities you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not provide. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill, be careful not to forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. This is what this man did. And then he didn't give thanks to God. We don't read anywhere that he celebrated the harvest as commanded by God. In Exodus chapter 34, we read, celebrate the feast of weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering in the autumn. God had commanded his people several times a year to remember the harvest, to remember the sowing, to remember the beginning of that sprouting, and to remember the harvest. We don't get the impression here that he was grateful to God. He forgot his obligations to God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says, honour God with your wealth. Honour God with your wealth. And in Deuteronomy, God's people were commanded to give the first fruit of their harvest to God. Chapter 14 and verse 22. Set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. And in chapter 14, verses 28 and 29, bring all your tithes of that year's produce and store it, so that the Levites, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows will be satisfied. God cares for people. And this was one of God's commands. He didn't honour God with the wealth that he had. He forgot to give to the poor. Leviticus chapter 19 and Leviticus 23. Leviticus 19 and verse 9 says this. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. It is the same with your grape crop. Do not strip every last bunch of grapes from the vines, and do not pick up the grapes that fall to the ground. Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. And then in chapter 23 and verse 22. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living amongst you. I am the Lord your God. Do you remember the story of Ruth and Boaz? Boaz has this field, maybe more than one. Ruth is a stranger, a foreigner, a widow, childless. And what does she do? She goes to the field to glean, to pick up the bits left at the edges, to pick up the bits left behind and not gathered, because God cares for the poor. And he expects his people to care for the poor. Unlike Boaz, and we know this is only a story, the man did not care for the poor. He kept it all for himself. He was complacent. He was complacent. He forgot that his life was in God's hands. He felt he had plenty stored away for enjoyment for many years. What does he say? I don't have room for all my crops. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Complacency. He felt he had plenty stored away for enjoyment for many years, but he died that night and enjoyed none of it. Proverbs 16 and verse 9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And in James chapter 4, we read this. Warning about self-confidence or complacency. Look here. Imagine James, look here. You who say today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this and do that. Otherwise you are boasting about your own pretentious plans. And such boasting is evil. Ooh, that's quite strict, isn't it? That's quite strong. Such boasting is evil. When we make plans, we should say, if it's the Lord's will. This man thought only of himself, forgot God, forgot other people, kept his money, and lost everything. So you might say, well, that was a good story. What's it got to do with us? I don't think any of us have fields with lots of grain and none of us are building barns, as far as I'm aware. What is it to do with us? Well, first of all, we should thank God for all his blessings every day. We've already been reminded in Gareth's lovely prayer about the things that God sends to us day by day, that God allows us to have. You know, I'm always glad when someone sort of says things like fresh running water and, you know, gas and electricity and lights. You know, we might think about food, but you think of all the things that you've got in your home that so many people haven't got, that we do take for granted. You got up this morning, you turned on the kettle, you made yourself a coffee or a cup of tea with nice clean water out of the tap. Perhaps I shouldn't say it in church, but you all went to the loo. And it wasn't a hole in the ground. It was a proper toilet. You all had something to eat. At least I hope you did. And you probably had a choice. Then you went to the wardrobe and decided what you were going to put on. And you haven't put on the same things you put on yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. How thankful are we? Let all that I am praise the Lord, says the psalmist. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. May I never forget. We need to thank God for all the blessings that he gives us day by day. The old hymn says, count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you. Well, perhaps it shouldn't, but sometimes it does. What the Lord has done, what the Lord has given. He is a kind God. He is a generous God. Let's thank him. The harvest hymn that we sometimes sing is, come, you thankful people, come. Are we truly thankful? Really, truly thankful? Be content with what we have. Philippians chapter 4 says this. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, with plenty or little. I have learned to be content. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't perhaps want more sometimes. We all have dreams and aspirations, don't we? We might like to have a slightly bigger house or a better car or a bit more of this, that and the other. But are we content with what we've got now? Are we content with what God gives us? And then we need to be a generous giver. A generous giver. 2 Corinthians says a lot about being a generous giver. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done. They are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in the kingdom. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted us to. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor, so that through his poverty you can become rich. Remember this, a farmer who plants only few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Each one of you must decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves a hilarious giver. I don't see much laughter when the bag goes round. But that's what it means. Are we generous givers? Now, I don't mean by that that we all have to give lots and lots, because some people haven't got lots and lots to give. But what you have got, are you prepared to give the bit that God tells you to give? Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. We need to make our plans carefully and prayerfully. We all make plans, don't we? Without plans, life would be rather difficult to live. We need to make plans for holidays. We need to make plans for work. We need to make plans for church. You know, I mean, churches plan a very long time ahead. You know, people are being booked up to speak next year, next December, maybe even the year after. We need to make plans. We make plans for holidays. John and I have made plans for next year's holidays. Because we're that kind of person. We like to book about a year in advance because that's just us. Plans are important. But what does James say? You should make your plans carefully and prayerfully, knowing that God might change your plans. I mean, for this rich fool, the plan was very drastic, wasn't it? Probably our plans won't be changed as drastically as that. But God will sometimes change our plans. He said, I don't want you to do that. That's not going to happen. When I was growing up, and probably perhaps for a lot of you, every time the notices were given out in church, someone would give out the notices and then say, all these things will take place if the Lord will. Do you remember that? If they were feeling very posh, they'd say, all these things will take place Deo Volenti, which is foreign for God willing. And us naughty children at the back would then say, DVWP, God willing, weather permitting. Because we were a bit naughty like that. But you know, sometimes it used to get a bit samey. You sort of always going to say the same every week. This is the notices and it'll all happen if the Lord will. Which is true. But let's not get stuck in a rut. You know, we don't say, well, I'm going to Tesco's tomorrow if the Lord will. Although some people do, I think. But when we make our plans, are we planning asking God to help us? And knowing that our plans can change because God will step in and change them. We need to lay up our treasure in heaven. We need to lay up our treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Now, I'm not going to tell you not to have a bank account. Okay. That's not what this is about. Where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Why? Because where your treasure is where your heart is. What is the most important thing to me? What is the most important thing to you? Paul wrote to the Colossians, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things that are above. And that's hard, isn't it? Isn't it? Or is it just me? I'm quite happy to set a lot of my thoughts on things below. Because by and large, I love this world. I love the beauty around me. I love holidays. I love family. I love fellowship. I love all the things that make this life good. But this life is only short. In comparison to eternity, this life is tiddly. So I should be looking upwards as well, shouldn't I? Should be thinking about heavenly things, thinking about what God wants me to do, about what heaven is going to be like. Am I laying up my treasure there, or am I just depending on treasure down here? And Luke chapter 12, as we read earlier. Luke chapter 12. What did Jesus say? Store up treasure in heaven. I like this. The purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. This rich fool, the desire of his heart was to make as much as possible and keep it for himself. And he lost out. Our life doesn't consist of how much we have here on earth, but about what we're putting down for eternal value. Jesus says it's foolish to store up earthly wealth, but not have a relationship with God. People can have everything in this world, but there is no real contentment or lasting joy without Jesus. Do we see that over and over again? People on the television, people who you sort of think, well, they've got everything. You know, they've got 3 cars, a great big mansion, millions of pounds in their jobs. Are they happy? Are they content? And you read of another one found dead at home. Hasn't got what they wanted because they don't know Jesus. Do you have that relationship through faith in Jesus? Do you? I mean, this is quite strong words, isn't it, from Jesus? A person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. I don't like calling anyone a fool, do you? Foolish. You're a fool. I'm sure the Lord said it with sadness in his heart. If you haven't got Jesus as your saviour, if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, if you don't know that you've got eternal life, you are missing out on so much in this life and the next. What did Jesus say in another place? What is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? What a tragedy. What sadness. If you don't know Jesus, you can come to him today. Ask him to forgive you. Thank him for dying on the cross. Thank him for being alive and ready to receive you. And ask that he will lead you and guide you until one day he takes you home and you receive that rich welcome in heaven where you've laid up your treasure. And if we do know him, are we living our lives in thanks to God? Remember, Paul wrote to the Romans, when you think about all that God has done for you, what should your response be? To lay down your life for him. To give him your life in worship and sacrifice. Are we trusting our life into his hands? Are we sharing the good things that he gives, including the good news of the gospel, to those in need? We'll be celebrating harvest next week. I was celebrating harvest last week. And I think this fits in really nicely in between. This is a story about a man who had a harvest, but got it all wrong. When we celebrate harvest next week, will we get it all right? We'll come and we'll thank God. We'll come and we'll give. We'll come and we'll share. Because that's the important things that we need to do. There's a saying, and it's so true. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Am I laying up treasure in heaven? Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Are we serving people here on earth now? Jesus says, you've received freely, freely give. Not everybody will be enjoying a harvest, will they? People need help. People need care. Are we willing to share? Let's live our life. Not like this rich fool who actually didn't get to live his life. Eat, drink and be merry. Take it easy. Is that what life is about? No. It's about knowing God and serving him always. Let's pray. Our dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were a wonderful storyteller. And you told stories that made the people think then and you make us think now. And so as we come to celebrate our own harvest, we pray that we will be people who are thankful, depending on you, and willing to share all we have with those in need. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget all the good things that he has done and will do for me. Amen. Amen. Father, we pray that you will part us with your blessing and keep us in your love and peace until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we bless each other with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.